Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the JS Online and Packers News Packers podcast. That's always a mouthful for me to say. I can never get it out quite as smoothly as I'd like. But I'm one of your hosts, Tom Silverstein, and I am here with Jim Osarski, who is in his second podcast.
Yeah.
And hopefully you guys enjoyed us the first time. I had to do a little solo shot on Kansas City on Thursday. But, you know, that was just because I was alone, sad face, alone. But we're together now, and let's get right at it. A lot of news, a lot of really the thing that everybody builds towards during the summer is the roster.
Yeah.
And what's it going to look like, and who are the Packers going to have going into the season? So let's first talk about the numbers, which we go on offense and we look at 7 wide receivers, 8 offensive linemen, 3 quarterbacks, 3 running backs, no fullbacks, 4 tight ends. Does that seem a little weird to you?
Yeah, it's a little less weird, I guess, on Monday when, you know, if on Sunday when this was all done, I guess, it was 8 receivers
right. And
2 running backs. So, you know, Jay Kumerow goes to IR, so that brings it to 7, which is normal. They signed Darius Jackson, so there's your third tailback.
Yeah, so let's explain what happened there today. I guess I should have let off with transactions today. So they put Jay Kumerow on IR. And the reason they put him on IR today, Monday, as opposed to Saturday, was that now he's eligible for the designated to return.
Yes.
They had put him on in the original cut, he'd be done for the year.
Right.
So they had to pass him through on the 53. Then yesterday they added running back Darius Jackson, picked him up off of, signed him off of Dallas's practice squad, and real athletic guy, third year back, not very productive, but off the charts athlete, who I think they feel like they could throw him in on special teams.
Yeah.
But it also gives them 3 backs
right
now.
Right.
And sort of.
Yeah, well, at least somebody who can play the position, you know, should, you know, if he's on the active 46, you know, if something happens to Ty Montgomery, Jamal Williams, okay, it's not Randall Cobb back there.
Right.
Especially with no fullback. And that was sort of the interesting thing, I guess, on cutdown day, Tom, was, you know, Aaron Ripkowski is let go.
Mm-hmm.
And first time in however many years that you don't have that guy, or at least Mike McCarthy doesn't have
first
that guy.
First time in McCarthy's tenure they haven't had a fullback.
Time.
Yeah, it is. It's an interesting deal. Lastly, on the transactions before we move on, to fill Kumerow's spot, they signed who?
Corey Toomer, a veteran linebacker, most recently of the 49ers, was there by his own admission as insurance for Reuben Foster. He was signed when Reuben Foster was going through that legal issue with domestic violence accusations in the spring. And once that was dismissed, they drafted a linebacker. Corey Toomer's been around the block, drafted by Seattle, but he's played for 4 other teams. He's like, look, it's a business. I was here for I knew what was going to happen to me.
Right.
Come cut down day. So that, but you know, frankly, the Bengals or the Packers. You might catch me doing that a couple more times. The Packers needed some linebacker depth.
Where did he say he could play?
Well, he said he could start.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He felt he's that kind of guy. He's like, I'm not a special teams player. He's like, I can do that, but
inside.
I think for him, he's a force fumble tackling machine.
Okay.
You know, I mean, 130 combined tackles the last 2 years and sort of some spot roles.
Sort of like Morrison, really.
Yeah, basically.
Sounds like very similar type players.
Right.
Okay. Well, that gives them a little bit more depth there. So, with Kumerow going on IR, that means there's 7 wide receivers. So let's evaluate the wide receiver position. So, you'd have to say that it's pretty obvious. Adams is number one. Devontae Adams, number one. Randall Cobb, number two. And Geronimo Allison, number three.
Yes.
Who's number four?
Wow. You know, I guess for me it'd be Jamon Moore, right?
I think I would agree with you. I think he would be the first guy off the bench. Even though he's been a little bit inconsistent, dropped too many balls, yeah. I just think that he's polished more than the others.
Yeah.
So I am interested to see who is up on Sunday.
Yeah.
Which receivers they keep up.
Right. You think, you know, the two other rookies, St. Brown and Scantling, I guess they were there
mm-hmm.
through this offseason in this camp, whereas Moore, yeah, you could talk about the drops, but you also saw him actually make plays.
Yeah.
And I understand this quarterback is different, and Randall Cobb actually talked about this in the locker room on Monday, Tom, is, you know, Aaron needs to trust who he's throwing it to. And who knows, maybe he develops that a little more with some of the other guys as it goes on. Mm-hmm. But and I know we're forgetting Trevor Davis here, but it just seems like he's a kick returner.
Yeah, nothing more.
Yeah.
I think they could use him as a decoy to run deep routes, but he's not. He barely even practiced this year.
Right.
So there's no chemistry there
yeah.
between Rodgers and him.
So maybe that's what, you know, when you finally winnow that room down and the reps, it's just, you know, you've got those three rookies. Okay, who clicks with the starting quarterback? Since Jay Kumerow did seem to have clicked, but then got hurt. So one of these other guys needs to do it.
The other thing is that if you really want to characterize it correctly, Jimmy Graham is the number two receiver.
Yeah, when we get into gameplay, you're right about that.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a tight end. I'm sorry. You know, he may line up in line once in a while, but he's a wide receiver. Offensive linemen. So let's go through. I'll go, you know, starting lineup, not surprising. David Bakhtiari, Lane Taylor, Corey Linsley, Justin McCray, Brian Bulaga. Then we've got Lucas Patrick, Jason Spriggs, and Alex Light.
Yeah.
Which I actually was not completely surprised by Alex Light. I had heard McCarthy drop a line about him during camp, and sometimes you have to really listen closely to McCarthy. Get through all the, you know, it's like a jungle, you know, and there's all kinds of vines and stuff, and you got to take your machete and you got to, you know, cut stuff up and then look for that one little nugget that's in there. And I remember him talking about Light, and I could tell they liked him. Oh, I think I forgot Byron Bell. So wait, did I have an extra guy there? 5, 6, 7. 8. No, it's 9.
Nine.
My bad. Yes.
Well, nine. You know, listeners are saying, I forgot about Byron Bell, too.
Yeah.
So you're not alone in that time.
Yeah,
But, I mean, I think, you know, to your point, though, about that sort of back end, I mean, really, you know, our first podcast was kind of coming off that Oakland game and how bad that second group looked. And while after the fact the coaches thought Jason Spriggs played better than
he did by far.
So
than Kyle Murphy was a disaster.
Yeah, and I think
and Pinky was too.
Yeah, and I think when you're talking about backup linemen, you know, we kind of said in you just kind of want them to get in the way as they learn and develop. I mean, Brian Bell is the vet.
Mm-hmm.
Spriggs is maybe that athlete on the come, right? And now these other two, you know, these other two guys, you know, they're backup linemen.
Yeah.
And they're meant to get better through the reps of practice and, you know, kind of put the fingers in the holes if you get to that point.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, Bell can play multiple positions. Spriggs
right.
can play multiple positions. Patrick can play multiple positions. That's what they're looking for. The thing that's missing in my mind is that there's not a real developmental guy. You know, Alex Light is, but he's not a guaranteed to become a starter. Spriggs is that guy right now. But there's no one else beyond him who you're going, this is going to guy. Cole Madison was supposed to be that guy.
Right.
When he comes in, we'll see.
Yeah.
They're going to be starting over with him.
Right. Yeah, it's you're right. I mean, it's from the beginning. You know, you need those five guys to stay as healthy as possible.
Yeah. Okay, so then we go to the tight ends, and they kept four. Surprised they kept Robert Tonyan?
I thought he, you know, no. Now that we look back at it, and Brian Gutekunst had said, and even Mike McCarthy, it was the best 53. And this goes back to the third quarterback, mm-hmm. or even the eighth wide receiver, you know, on cutdown day. To me, if it truly was the best 53, I thought Robert Tonyan played his way on the team. Mm-hmm. I guess we'll find out if he's active. You know, who are the seven? Right. I think some of them might come from this group. You know, he's an intriguing athlete.
Yeah, probably that guy we just talked about on the offensive line, that developmental guy who, you know, they hope at some point he's not going to be Jimmy Graham, but they. Be that receiver type or Lance Kendricks, someone like that. It could be possible he's not active the entire year and they just go with those three guys.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens with injuries and things like that. But interesting prospect. He really performed when it was on the line, I thought.
Yeah, I'm curious. And sort of, you know, Mercedes Lewis, you know, we talk about the offensive line issues and not that a tight end is a lineman, but Mercedes Lewis is your blocking. Your big tight end.
Yes. Right? Almost like another tackle.
So, you know, that also could have factored into some of the, I don't know, decision making. But, I mean, I think Mercedes Lewis and Jimmy Graham's a wide receiver. Mercedes Lewis is a blocking tight end. Like, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
You know, that you have these such disparate guys where, you know, I mean, you're always looking for both, right? Out of that position,
but
usually.
There's so few tight ends that can do both anymore.
So you end up needing to carry multiple guys just because it's, you know, which, you know, most offensive coordinators hate.
Yeah.
Because you kind of telegraph where you're going.
Exactly.
But then you don't have a fullback.
Right.
Which, you know, I mean, to me, I know Green Bay's been different, Tom, but, I mean, to me, a fullback was always a tell, if you will. I mean, what was that guy going to do?
Right, right. You know? Unless you had a really athletic guy who could, you know, split out. But, yeah, it is. All right, let's move on to the running backs. And as of Saturday, they had just two.
Yeah.
So Ripkowski was the fullback was released, and Joe Carriage was released, and Devontae Mays was released. I was a little surprised at that one. So what we have left is Jamal Williams and Ty Montgomery. And then Monday, they go out, and of course Aaron Jones is on the suspended list for 2 weeks. They go out and they sign Darius Jackson off of the practice squad of the Dallas Cowboys. So we think he'll be mostly special teams guy, but there is some interest in his running abilities. But I don't think he can help him on Sunday. Williams and Montgomery, and I think McCarthy is really, really rolling the dice on this one.
Yeah.
Going with two guys.
Yeah, and you know, just jumping in here, going into a live blog with you at jsonline.com, you know, on cutdown day, Tom. Clearly injury history, Ty Montgomery. I mean, it's like they're synonyms. You know what I mean? So it is, you know, it's, I covered a team that went in with two running backs as well. It's just the nature of the position. You know, anyone can get hurt, but those guys tend to get those ankles rolled or those shoulder. The stingers, if you will, and have to come out, especially with these new rules and protocols and where officials can pull guys. So you're right. It is a, you know, I guess if there's one spot, though, Tom, that a running back can just kind of make do or a player can make do, it is at running back. I mean,
it's the easiest position for a guy to come in and help. The other thing is that this is just for 2 weeks.
Right. That is the thing to remember.
Then Aaron Jones comes back. So they have to get through 2 weeks. They always have Randall Cobb as a possibility as a running back as well. Probably not ideal, but they've certainly done it. All right, so let's move on to defense. And before we do that, We've never gotten a chance to, we didn't have a chance to talk about the Khalil Mack deal that the Bears executed and the Packers did not. I'm going to ask you right off the bat, would you have given up two first-round picks and a $160 million contract for Khalil Mack?
Yes.
Tell me why.
If now, we're assuming that the structure of the deal could fit in the plan. So let's just assume that's the case. If I know you and I know what you can do, I prefer that over the unknown. Khalil, and especially because Khalil Mack is not just another guy. Mm-hmm. You draft in the top five of drafts to find a future Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. To find an all-pro, you know, maybe a pro bowler. You know, Khalil Mack is an all-pro at different positions. He already is a pro bowler, and he's trending in that special territory.
Yeah, top five guys.
Those guys are so hard to find. I mean, you know, we talked to Brian Gutekunst about sort of wiping away all the bad drafts of recent years for the Packers. I mean, when was the last? I mean, Clay Matthews?
The last pass rusher?
Are you right?
Yeah.
I mean, and he's 32 years old?
Yeah.
Yes, drafting 21 and 28 is great, sure. You know, but to me, it's just, but you know what that guy is. And yes, you know what he's going to be for the next 3-4 years.
Right.
The money, again, it's football. Money is whatever. Aaron Rodgers in his conference call said nothing is guaranteed beyond 3 years, mm-hmm. even for him. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a huge chunk of cash, but let's face it, the Packers have it, and it could go away in 3 years. I mean, the way that current deal is, you know, if Khalil Mack's bad at the age of 31, he's not in Chicago anymore.
Yeah. I'm going to argue against, because for a couple of reasons. One, if I'm the Oakland Raiders, I would pay him. I would pay him what they paid him. I think you can have a quarterback who's making $25 million, and you can have this defensive guy. I think that's doable. I think to give up two first rounders and pay that money, I think it's too much. Okay. I don't think there's a player worth that much money other than Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And I know first-round picks are really a crapshoot, but you not only are risking two good players, you're also risking the money. And what happens is if one of those two guys gets hurt, I mean, they count for a quarter of your cap, and all that, and all of a sudden they have a career-ending injury, all that money accelerates, and you're rebuilding for 3 years because you can't sign anybody. You have to let all these really pretty good players go. So that's why I thought it wasn't a real smart idea. I don't think it was ever going to happen because the Packers' picks were not good enough.
Yeah, I think
Reggie McKenzie wanted a potential top 10 pick next
year. And frankly, the Bears, I mean, who knows? We'll get into them during the week, Tom. I'm not a believer in them being a worst-to-first scenario. I guess I look at it more as it's a financial hit in the immediate present of 2018. Mm-hmm. If you trade for Khalil Mack, you're telling Clay Matthews, play it out this year and, you know, continue your career elsewhere. You're telling Randall Cobb, play it out this year.
They might be doing that anyways, though.
Right. So to me, I think it's just kind of, it would have been that true win now in 18.
Yeah.
And then, look, the Packers are that team where they don't have the rookie contract as a quarterback, whereas mm-hmm. the Bears do.
That's a huge factor.
So that's where you have to spread it out after that, is where you're like, look, you know, the rest are running backs. We just won't have anyone beyond a rookie deal.
Right.
But they've done that.
You're going to have a lot of rookies. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. They have done that. Yeah. You're right. Here's where I think why the deal would have been good if they pulled it off, and it's this very reason. Asking McCarthy about Mac on Monday, I thought he gave a very interesting answer. Let's hear that.
Say what? Say what?
You know, once the deal was done, that was really a big part of our Sunday meetings were, just getting ready for that. Because the first meeting of your opponent is, frankly, their personnel and what the expectations are in all three phases, schematically. So we had those positions this morning with our players. So we spent a lot of time watching, tape on Mac yesterday. And, obviously, extraordinary player, and it's an excellent addition to their football team.
So what stood out there for me, Jim, is that what I mentioned is as a big reason is they have to go back and look at – I mean, they literally have to figure out how they're going to block this guy.
Yeah.
That is where it speaks to the point that you were talking about him just being a top five player and an impact player. And now they got to go back. They've had their game plan all set offensively, and now here's Khalil Mack, and throw it out the window because I honestly think he's not going to play that much. I think they'd be dumb if they played him more than 20-25 snaps.
Yeah,
but still, you gotta account for him,
right? And all you need is one strip sack out of those 25 to completely change a game.
Absolutely.
And he's that type of guy who can do that. So you're right. It is that is a interesting bit of candor, from the head coach there. Especially they've closed training camp a couple times because it's Bears Day. They've been building to this. It's important. Home game, all that division game to start 1-0.
Yeah.
And this is such a unique wrinkle to throw into it.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay, well, while we're on the subject of defense, let's go to the Packers defense. And what we saw was not a ton of surprises, I thought.
Yeah, I don't think so.
A couple of different things in the secondary, but starting out with five defensive linemen, Muhammad Wilkerson, Kenny Clark, Mike Daniels, Dean Lowry, and Montrevious Adams. Any surprises there?
No,
I don't think so,
in this defense, you want those top four guys basically to stay healthy and rotate in.
Yep. Okay, let's go to outside linebacker. So you've got Clay Matthews, Nick Perry, Reggie Gilbert, and Kyler Fackrell. Now, let's address the elephant in the room, which is Kyler Fackrell, which is the most hated guy amongst fans. I don't share all the fans' opinion on him. I do think he's got flaws, but I think he's one of these guys who at some point it'll kind of click, and he's got some pass rush ability. He's got length. He's just got to let it loose, and I can see why they kept him over Vince Beagle, and who else am I forgetting that they cut?
But that's your point. I mean, it's Clay Matthews and Nick Perry, right?
Chris Odom.
Yeah. A guy that carried on the 53 last year, mm-hmm. who never really developed.
Yeah, no, hardly played.
Was inactive. Yeah,
59 snaps he played.
So. That's maybe the risk here with just the four. And Brian Gunkus tried to say, well, Crawford has some versatility if need be. And,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Clay Matthews can't pop a hammy in the first few weeks here or whatever.
They can't lose both those
guys.
Yeah,
they can't lose both of them.
They can lose one and still be functional.
Yeah.
But they lose two and...
Right, and Gilbert flashed enough, but in terms of Fackrell, the general manager said he had a good training camp, just mm-hmm. flat out said it.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed 51 in the as new eyes, I guess, as a guy who's like almost there. Mm-hmm. Like you see 51, but he doesn't quite, at least to me, Tom, he never completed the rush. He never completed the, right. But he was like, and maybe that's what this is, as you just said. Maybe it'll click, whatever that is, whatever that little half step is, and maybe that's what they're hoping they get out of him as this year goes on.
And then I think the expectation is too high. Fans are expecting him to be this sack master or, you know, a guy who can hold the edge like Perry. He's a fourth outside linebacker. That's what he is.
Think about your two starting outside linebackers and how much they're paid.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the guys
that
are supposed to do that. These are the backups.
Right. So, you know, could they have a better guy? Yes, they could. But he was the best of what they had, I thought. Okay, inside linebacker. We've got Blake Martinez, Oren Burks, James Crawford, and Antonio Morrison. And then now
Corey Toomer. Yeah.
So, not a lot of surprises there except for Crawford.
Yeah.
I went back and looked at the Kansas City game and watched it. That guy was a demon on special teams. He flattened guys. I mean, there were three blocks I looked at where his guy was on the ground. And then he had a big hit on a punt return. I can see why they kept him.
Yeah, special teams has been kind of an issue, if you will. Yeah. I mean, Mike McCarthy adjusted. He's like, hey, Ron Zook is kind of, you know, trying to make something happen here with this unique breakdown of players. I think James Crawford made the team because he in a short amount of time did what an undrafted guy is supposed to do.
I think he outperformed Marwin Evans.
Right.
I think he outperformed Dimitri Goodson, and those were their two of their better special teams players. And so you got to reward a guy, and plus he's big.
Yeah.
So he will be on the field, I think.
I think so, too.
Sunday against the Bears.
Yeah. Whereas I think Morrison...
Well, he's hurt, but we don't know how significant.
Right. Yeah, we'll know a little more middle of the week. Yeah, it's, you know, and then two new guys, Morrison and Toomer, I think those are the guys that are here until Oren Burks' situation gets figured out.
Right.
And, solid veteran tackling depth at that position. I mean, how often are they going to be
first
on the field?
Down, they're first right. down
exactly.
guys.
Yeah.
You know, and then see you later.
Right.
Okay. Then we go to cornerbacks. Cornerbacks are Kevin King, Tremont Williams, Devon House, Jair Alexander, and Josh Jackson. For a little while, Herb Waters, but they released him. And, you know, we all knew that wasn't going to last. From, am I missing somebody? There should be six. One, two, House, King, and...
No, for corners.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's right. All right, so what do you think of that group?
Here's a funny thing, Tom. From afar, you would look at the Packers and say, even last year as the Bengals coming in, they'd be able to throw on the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
I think ball skills, ball don't lie, as they like to say in basketball and in other sport. Josh Jackson and Jair Alexander can play.
Mm-hmm.
And Tremont Williams, I think as the year goes on, his snaps will be diminished as they try to get these other two outside more.
Yeah,
which is fine. I mean, and I think Kevin King's a real player. So it's just a matter of can he stay healthy. That's a good group. You know, I know it's all healthy, if but healthy, right?
Yeah,
I think they can play, and I think Devon House is and Tremont Williams are the type of veteran. Good guy, can still play a little when you need him.
Mm-hmm.
Guys to have to back up the rookies. There's going to be inevitable mistakes. There's going to be a blown coverage. They're going to try to jump a route that they learn quickly in the NFL that they can't do as opposed to college. But I like them. I like that group, to be honest. I think it went from a to a this. These guys can cover.
Yeah, there's a little bit of depth there.
Yeah.
You know, I guess you can't talk about the cornerback group without talking about the safety group. And so there are five corners. There were six with Herb Waters, and then they cut him. Now, with the safeties, you got Hogg, Clinton Dix, Kentrell Bryce, who are the starters, Jermaine Whitehead and Josh Jones, and then the surprise of the group, Raven Green.
Yeah.
Another guy I thought won on special teams.
Yeah.
Here's what I think why you have to count the safeties in. Patton shows a real affinity for safeties. I think we've seen like three safeties on the field at times. And I think he likes guys who can run and cover but can also play up at the line of scrimmage.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the nature of the position is, at least to me, sure tackling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, big hitting, if you will. I mean, but there's an element to that still at that position, even with the new rules. You're right. I think Mike Patton is sort of the X factor in the secondary a little bit. I mean, what is he going to do? You know, and what do these guys allow him to do?
Mm-hmm.
Especially in like the nickel situations, and you know, is his dime three safeties?
Right.
You
it
know,
can be
it
some
can
weeks.
Be. I mean, depending on obviously the personnel for your opponent. You know, again, I just named three corners. I'd feel real good in one on one, but they're a little undersized if it comes to like defending a tight end.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting back end, especially with the new coordinator. That's sort of that's, you know, when we talk about this roster building, Tom, I'm curious to see how it matches this new DC and what he brings to the table.
Because
for so long, Dom Capers, you could probably just, you know, check some boxes and you know what you're going to see.
Right.
Whereas this is maybe at least for Packers fans, even for us.
Yeah.
What's new week one?
Exactly. Finally, we have the specialists. J.K. Scott is the punter, Mason Crosby is the kicker, and Hunter Bradley is the long snapper. I was surprised that Bradley made it over Treiner.
That seems to be the general perception
from,
you know, as I've just sort of watched, you know, social media react to it, or even talking to other, you know, writers or people who are around camp all ball camp, since I wasn't, Tom. But Brian Gutekunst, in his press conference Sunday, he said, "I made this decision."
Well,
and I mean, so he, you know,
his draft pick, cutting that guy would not have looked good for him. I still think they got Brett Gut on speed dial, and maybe even on FaceTime as we speak. You know,
can you imagine if there's a Khalil Mack sack that makes it a 49-yarder to win the game Sunday, and that snap goes sideways? Worst-case scenario.
Man, that would be worth something to write about, let me tell you. Wow, that would be interesting. We have to assume that Trevor Davis is going to be the returner.
Yeah.
I know for a fact that they tried to shop him during the weekend, offered him up to anybody who was interested, didn't get what they thought they would get, and now he'll be their returner, unless something else happens.
Yeah, that whole idea is interesting to me, because I think that happens for and then guys end up getting released. I don't know, Tom. To me, kick returners are sort of getting phased out of this league. I mean, the league doesn't want that play anymore.
Yeah,
and if that's your only value, you know, that's a tough one.
That is something we should debate on here, because then why are you keeping all these special teams guys?
Yeah.
You know, if it's a kick.
Yeah, it's interesting. It is. Some people think the new rules will allow for more explosive returns,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, there's no running head starts and you can't wedge and maybe part of it is just it goes to the other side, which is punt returns.
Yeah, it's punting.
As opposed,
what you're really filling your special teams for.
Right, because you do need sure tackling and sure lane assignments and guys who know what to do there and frankly can block too, because that's the one sort of I don't know the right word. A kick return, I mean, look, if the kicker wants it, they boot out of the end zone. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that's a dead play. Whereas punts have that weird, there's the weather, there's the wind, there's the shank factor, there's, you know, there's so many other elements to that kick that I think that's where the special teams guys matter.
Right.
But the kick return, you know, that's a tough one.
Yeah. Okay, so I think that about covers it. Were there any guys on here that got cut that you were a little bit surprised at?
You know, we talk about it, the general manager keeping his three rookie receivers. I mean, he did cut a couple of his late round picks, and he shed some previous draft picks. And now while he said, look, I was in the building and part of the draft process, and once they're a Packer and I'm invested, but I mean, to me, it seemed like Brian Gutekunst was, hey, you know, we got to move on from some of these past draft classes. And frankly, was it the 2015 draft, Tom? Not real good.
15, terrible.
I mean so it's like
their first and second rounders are gone.
Yeah.
There's nothing left there.
Right. And so. Making a quick decision on Vince Beagle.
Yeah.
You know, I think if you were to watch these guys play, they've made those decisions clear, but maybe in the past the front office has been reticent to cut the cord as quickly.
Yeah. One position I forgot to mention was quarterback, because of course you always think about it's just Aaron Rodgers. But McCarthy said Monday that Kaiser's the backup. Right. Not a big surprise, but I wondered whether this was going to be a weekly contest between Kaiser, because Boyle was pretty decent. But I think it is Kaiser's job for the year.
I think so. You know, I guess practice might determine some things down the road. But to me, I looked at quarterback's the one different position. It just is. And look, seven guys are going to be standing there with a baseball hat no matter what every week.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think the quarterback is special or could be special, that's one of the guys you kind of stash.
Yeah.
And what does that mean? Oh, Aaron Rodgers signed through 20. Yeah, sure. That's fine. But you know what? DeShone Kizer's got 3 years left. Tim Boyle's going to have 3 years or four, whatever it may be. You can trade those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Boyle can go from an undrafted free agent to a third round pick in one good preseason next year. So it's I think that's why you keep those guys around.
No question. I agree wholeheartedly. All right, well, I think that's going to do it. We've gone long enough. We will come back on Wednesday and preview the Bears. Yeah. I think that'll be really interesting. We need to take a look at that defense and really break down the defense. The rest of this week, be sure you check in on JS Online and PackersNews.com. We'll have all the coverage of everything that transpires in Green Bay. Don't forget videos, and then I'll be doing the X's and O's and five questions with Leroy Butler starting Tuesday, later today. So it'll be posted up. So be sure you tune into that. So with that, we'll cue the music and say we will see you on Wednesday.
Yeah, see you then.